It is 2:59. We're glad you're here with us in person or on the radio. It is time for Arts Live and Local. I want to start out the show with a shout out. Martin Luther King Day is coming up, and his birthday was on Wednesday, and this Monday, the Lower Columbia Diversity Project is having a candlelight vigil at 5:30, meeting at 12th and Commercial, and walking a bit, and then heading back to Peace Lutheran at 6 o'clock for free soup dinner and programs. So do join us to celebrate potential possibilities and hope.
Times I know when it's so hard just to put one foot in front of the other and keep breathing. Lord knows we've been through some trying times lately. And after enduring so many setbacks, we can begin to wonder if our lives, our work, mean anything. But still, I keep believing, because we can never know exactly where we stand in history. Think of the thousands of people who spent 10 or 20 years of their lives trying to get Nelson Mandela released from prison. Some of them died, perhaps brokenhearted, without learning the happy ending to that story. And so I say, hold on. Hold on to hope with both hands. I'm going to share with you words from Dr. King that have given me the strength to carry on many times. And I hope that these words, inspired by sacred song and Unitarian philosophy, lift you up and give you the courage to keep on. I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, oh, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Not long, because no lie can live forever. I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
What you sow. However difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, I know it won't be long, not long, 'cause truth rushed to the earth will rise again. Today, oh, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Because the arc of the moral universe is long. Yes, the arc of the moral universe. But it bends toward justice.
How long? Not long.
That's Ann Feeney from her album Dump the Bosses Off Your Back. And we heard, and we're continuing to hear How Long, which is an original composition of hers. Ann, of course, is the musician with whom I went to Ireland. So every time you hear all my excitement about all the fabulous music and people and humor that I experienced in Ireland, I have to give a tip of the hat to her as well. Well, speaking of tipping the hat, I think we have way more than a hat here. I've got two people here who are going to tell us about a show that deals with fiber arts. After all, what do you make hats from, right? I we got to make a connection somehow.
There are even hats in the exhibit.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sake, I did not know that. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. From the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in El Waco, I've finally been able to say that almost smoothly, is Betsy Millard, who is the director and who has been here before. Hi, Betsy.
Hello. Good to be back.
I'm always glad to have you here because there's so much going on in that museum of yours. I mean, whoa. It's exciting. And, they have all kinds of events, but this time it's an actual exhibit. And in addition to Betsy, I have Cheryl Silverblatt, who has also been here before. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Carol. It's wonderful to be back.
Yes.
Talking about beautiful fiber again.
Exactly. Well, Cheryl is one of our local fiber artists. And we have a very active group here. We've been talking about that just now, off mic. So what's going on at the museum is a double whammy. And it's called, well, I'm going to let Betsy and Cheryl tell you more about the exhibit. I just want to give you a heads up that the opening is tonight.
Tonight, 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7. So we wanted to make sure to get that through so you can get on over there because it's going to be exciting. And it's always nice to be there. Are a number of the local artists going to be able to be there, do you
yes.
think?
Yes. The Clatsop Weavers and Spinners Guild, which has members from both the Oregon side and the Washington side of the river. And we are going to have many members in attendance, and we have a couple of people who will be demonstrating.
Oh,
and
oh,
so
good.
You can ask about technique or ideas or why people do fiber art.
Well, now, did this start as, because it's called Clatsop, I'm assuming it started on the Oregon side? Is that it?
It did. It started as the Clatsop County Weavers and Spinners.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many Finnish
weavers, course,
as well as
course.
Others, who
yes.
Rode the ferry over to connect with friends and fellow fiber artists and weavers on the Washington side. And they actually did meet at the museum then.
Okay.
Long time.
And still do.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. So as you heard, that's the Clatsop Weavers and Spinning Guild. Is
yes.
that what it's called? Okay. And the name of the installation that you are doing, am I right? Creative Hands Across the Columbia?
That's exactly right.
Good. Okay, so let's introduce the other part of the show, which probably inspired the whole thing. Did you get an opportunity?
Well,
to
Cheryl brought to the table the opportunity to do the statewide exhibit that is WEGO, which is the Weavers Guild of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's all the guilds
Weaving
around.
Guilds of Oregon,
yes.
Right.
And they do a juried exhibit every year.
Oh.
And this year they offered to have that show and bring it up to El Waco because it hasn't been seen locally, I think, for a long time.
No, it hasn't been in our area for a long time. It does travel, but it just didn't travel this direction.
Yeah.
So the name of that show is Threads to New Worlds, a collection of fiber arts.
Yes.
Now, when you say it travels a lot, is this a new show from the group WEGO?
It's actually a revived show. They used to do it with great regularity. Mm-hmm. And then, as with many things mm-hmm. and organizations, the people who were the driving force kind of fell by the wayside or got really too old to participate. Mm-hmm. And it kind of went into dormancy, but now it's been revived.
So do they jury new material each year or...
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. And so, it's each year, I believe there's a different juror.
Yes.
And this year, okay. The juror is Nancy Hoskins.
Hoskins, right.
Who is, and there's an example of her work in the show, very beautiful. And she's an expert in Coptic textiles. So, really interesting. Early Egyptian
right.
textiles.
The Coptic Christians are the ones who yeah. get knocked out of. But we won't go there.
Yeah.
But
she does beautiful, beautiful work. And it's very interesting to see a juror's eye in an exhibit because,
That's unusual to have the juror's work in the exhibit.
Well, just a little bit. It was included just to for the traveling show, so you kind of know a little bit more about who she is and what her work looks like.
Right.
And she's quite well known.
She's very well known. She has publications. And to include a piece of the juror's is a gesture of respect for her ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it also because it gives... Sometimes, which is why it's good to have different jurors each year for any show. I mean, we have Au Naturel
right.
coming up next week. And because no matter how one tries to be, quote, objective, the filter is there. So if you're a person who really loves geometric, you might somehow kind of sway over there.
And it's interesting. It becomes more collaborative in that sense. You, as a viewer, you go through going, gee, I wonder why they chose that. And then you go, oh, but that's very similar to the one over there. And I can understand how those two work together.
Yeah.
And then there were prizes given in this exhibit because it was a juried exhibit that traveled around. So on all the labels, you'll see if a piece won a prize. And, of course, that always, gets the dialogue going. Like, I can't believe that one won for that or that one over there. So in this show, there's the opportunity to do the People's Choice Award.
Oh, really?
So there's a box and some ballots and all the venues across the state people have been doing.
Nice.
Their choice. So I'm anxious to find out what wins the People's Choice.
I'm laughing because I don't have television, but I'm hearing on the radio all this talk about the Academy Awards, and Oscars or whatever they are. And it's like, well, which one do you think should get it? And then which one do you think is going to get it?
Exactly.
Geez, my God, don't you guys have anything better to talk? But anyway.
It's human nature.
So now, does that mean that since it's a traveling exhibit that this work is not for sale? Or
correct.
Okay.
Well, I believe in some of the other venues the works were for sale. This is the tail end of the traveling show. And so a lot of the pieces have already been sold, and they'll be going to their new owners at the end
afterwards,
of the show.
They are.
But as a museum, we don't really sell things out of the galleries.
Gotcha.
If there are people... I would say that you're really interested in, we can get you their information.
Right.
You can contact them and talk to them about
that's
it.
Great. That's excellent, though.
Yeah.
You can contact the artist or go to their website
and
see
the best
rest
way.
Of their work. Absolutely, absolutely. On the other hand, the locals have an advantage because they're right here.
We'd be happy to send
Hi, give me your
people.
Phone number. I'll be right over.
And I have to tell you, Carol, the local exhibit, the Creative Hands Across the Columbia, rivals the state show beautifully. I mean, we have incredible...
Yes.
Cheryl's sitting right here, so I shouldn't...
She's not listening.
She
can't hear us.
But her work, as well as the other... I think we decided there's 8 or 9?
I think so.
I think there are eight or nine of our
people
local
included.
People are just really special.
Yeah.
And
I
just think people are going to be very pleased to see how wonderful our local group is.
So tell me now, I jotted this down, but I didn't say to which it belongs. Traditional materials and methods, plus new fibers, bamboo, synthetics, opening new fiber horizons. What did that refer to?
Well, it refers to several of the pieces, and this is really a trend with hand weavers, people who spin yarn to make things with, people who work with collage and multimedia, It's just, I've watched it happen that these fiber artists are now beginning to use what we would have called in the old days alternative materials. They're weaving with wire, raffia, grasses, paper, things like that. So when a hand weaver works with alternative materials, like they can weave with corn yarn or Tencel, or there are a wide variety. And all these yarns or all these materials have different characteristics. And it really ups the game. It really improves your ability to be able to deal with the problems that arise and explore new dimensions of what you've been doing, maybe for a long time. So while linen and silk and wool are quite beautiful, it's really exciting to see the investigation of new materials.
Yeah, and perhaps find new ways to express oneself.
Exactly.
Kind of pushes the boundaries, really, of what one thinks of as fiber arts. I mean, one of the pieces, actually there are two in the show, a woman who photographs work that she has made, collages it together, prints it out on a very large photographic paper, cuts that up, and then reassembles it with thread, woven threads. And so they become a very different texture, very different kind of piece. It's not all soft and cozy at all.
No, the presentation, and when you see these pieces on the wall, I think they really have a lot of integrity, and they do compete with a painting, for example.
Oh, yeah.
They really stand out and step right off the wall in a very interesting way.
I have in my head an exhibit that was at the college.
Yes.
And there was some work there that was, one would have sworn, was a painting.
Yes.
It was flowers. It was a particular artist. Sure.
That's right.
Knows.
Yes, I do.
And it was extraordinary to get up close and realize that this is something else. So
yeah.
That's kind of fun, too, to sort of fool ourselves. So where does the hat come in?
Well, there are, in addition
made
to...
Made out of what?
Well, our local weavers and spinners, a number of them will spin their own yarns and then knit. And so Rose Powers loves to knit hats, and there are a couple of her hats and I believe she spins all her own.
She spins all, she's a master spinner, and she's a New Zealander.
She's the sheep.
And she knows, well, and she actually works with alpaca primarily, but she has a very whimsical sense of humor, so her hats use eyelash yarn and all of these funny yarns that she has spun herself and knit. So they're quite charming and fun to wear and to look at.
Yes.
You know, once at the Scandinavian Festival, I brought a bag full of, this is my couple dogs back, my dog Bodie, who was a long white fur. I mean, some of it was at least 8 inches long. And
oh,
I asked them, because there was somebody there who allegedly, and she said, oh, yeah, that's definitely
spinnable.
And I said, well, okay, she wasn't going to do it. I wasn't giving it away. I just wanted to know, is this actually?
It does happen. And in fact, I have some yarn. I still have some left over of a favorite beloved dog blended with some wool. And I was commissioned to make a scarf for someone because they could then wear it.
Wear it and close to their heart. Right. I'm speaking with Cheryl Silverblatt, a local weaver, and Betsy Millard, director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. And tonight, from 5 to 7, they are opening a fabulous double exhibit. And that is, it's all about fiber arts. It's a traveling exhibit, Threads to New Worlds, a collection of fiber arts. I guess the new worlds there refers to these
new materials,
alternative or unexpected. And then the Clatsop Weavers and Spin, and that's brought from the Weaving Guilds of Oregon, which is known as WeGo. Cute, very cute. And then there's a special installation by the Clatsop Weavers and Spinning Guild, Creative Hands Across the Columbia, which is our local two-state group. I really appreciate, oh, that's a whole nother thing, the fact that the arts are bringing people together, just like the Columbia River does,
yes.
You know?
It's just a bridge.
We're all part.
We go across right. it all the time.
It's a bridge to life.
To everything, yes.
Yeah. Cheryl, since you're the weaver here, what is involved, would you say? I know in school sometimes they bring in, well, yes, for full disclosure, artists in the schools, which I do, but not in weaving, certainly. And people work with children.
Yes.
Sometimes they, you know, just start making their...
Exactly.
And what do you think about how people get into using
Well, we
this?
Are trying, as we know, in our community in Astoria, there are many, many wonderful Scandinavian weavers.
Mm-hmm.
They brought their looms and just sat down and started weaving the moment they hit the land.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those weavers are aging, and many of these, I would say, handcrafts, knitting, crochet, mm-hmm. tatting, spinning and weaving, they were for a time kind of going by the wayside, mm-hmm. and being taken over by the fact that people could just buy this material, these hats and these mm-hmm. this yardage so much more easily. But now, and I'll put in a plug for the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy, who works with the 4-H,
mm-hmm.
and we teach weaving to children.
Of
and
course.
We have ongoing classes. They coincide with the school calendar. So we're starting up again after mm-hmm. the holidays.
So is this all schools or just certain schools? Or how did
this? Well, it's a 4-H program for the Fiber Arts Academy. So students from our region mm-hmm. who participate in 4-H groups are eligible.
Right.
It's too bad there are lots of colleges and universities who have eliminated weaving and any textile art programs, but including Clatsop Community College.
Which used to have a wonderful, wonderful
program.
Margaret Teary and then Iris Sullivan.
Sullivan, yes, both of them wonderful teachers. But I think with knitting enjoying a huge upsurge in popularity, and I was told that students in college now are knitting and carrying their knitting in their little bags.
I love it.
I love it, too. I'm hoping that maybe we're seeing a renaissance.
Of course, it is easier to carry around your knitting than your weaving, although, someone else was talking about weaving, and I mentioned the backstrap looms. You know, you just hook it to a chair or something and start
That's
working.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it would...
There are palm looms, too, just small hand looms.
Okay. And what is your work these days?
I am primarily, as I'm sure you remember, Carol, you've been so good to the fiber artists here in our community.
I love this stuff.
I am primarily a tapestry weaver, and I'm working on a series of pieces. I'm going to have my first, last, and probably only solo show at the Latimer Quilt Center in 2015. So,
wow, very exciting!
Thank you. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's It's a little bit
it's 2015. Thrilling. You have a little time,
but
we know how fast time.
But Cheryl's
goes.
Work is just exquisite.
It is.
Just thank you.
Exquisite.
Thank you.
Really, the first time I'd ever seen it was in this show, and I'm just bowled over by it.
Oh, okay.
So, well, and it takes me a long time, too. That's the hard part.
Well, but that's the meditative part.
I want to plug our free Thursdays at the museum, because every Thursday is mm-hmm. free admission, thanks to the Port of Ilwaco, yay.
Mm-hmm.
And during the run of this exhibit, members of the Clatsop Weavers and Spinning Guild will be there every Thursday from 1 to 3 doing demonstrations, taking questions, letting you try your hand at we set up a practice loom, a big floor loom in the middle of the gallery, and there's also a small table loom and a spinning wheel.
Wow.
And so
exciting.
Come and learn a little bit from the experts.
Tell us how long the show runs.
Through February.
Through the month of February?
Yes. So all of January and through February.
So this
is a wonderful commitment on the part of our weavers and spinners, and
okay.
we thank them.
Yes.
Well, and a wonderful commitment on the part of the museum. There's a lot of competition for that beautiful gallery space.
It's
so
a wonderful museum.
It's
115 Southeast Lake in Ilwaco. And the general hours, correct me if I'm wrong, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sunday, noon to 4.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, and don't forget free Thursdays. But it's, What else do you have? Just quickly, what else do you have in the museum right now?
Oh, wow. We
in 25 words.
No. Well, we run the gamut. Everything from, if you're interested in fiber, you can see early Chinook and baskets. You can go on through. We have sort of a village that's got sort of everyday life kinds of things. Then we
Wonderful.
Have our largest artifact is the train car Nakata, which is the 1889 Pullman-built wooden passenger train car from the Narrow Gauge Railroad.
Oh, right.
And it is a very important little car, historic car. It's one of the most extant cars in America, meaning it hasn't been messed with.
Now, where is that?
And it's
That's
wonderful.
Sitting out in the it's in the courtyard between.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh my goodness!
And we're working very hard on preservation of that car. And the whole story of the narrow gauge railroad that ran the railroad that ran with the tides is much loved, and so we devote a bit of our permanent collection to
Wonderful.
And we have just started our second year of the Community Historian Project, which is a 15-week program of lectures and workshops. And we have a great group of 20 people doing that. And we hope you'll see more of their work out in the community.
Well, I think Sydney Stevens, who's one of our local historians, writers, and everything else, spoke about that. Last year, I didn't realize it was, that's great.
Yep.
You've kept it going.
And it grew this year, so we're thrilled.
Good. Hey, Clatsop, we need to get on this.
Yes, we do.
We actually have a few people from Astoria taking the course, so we're thrilled.
Of course, it's wonderful. Yay. Okay, well, thank you so much, both of you, for making this exhibit happen and for coming in to KMUN and KTCB to share it with our listeners, as well as our local folk who should definitely get over there this evening if you can, from 5 to 7. Otherwise, anytime through the month of February, end of February. But I think that free Thursdays, not only is it free, but you get to meet some of the artists and see a demo from 1 to 3 on Thursdays. That's an excellent opportunity.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Betsy Millard, the director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, and Cheryl Silverblatt from the Clatsop Weavers and Spinning Guild.
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
All right. And this is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And I have some music for you here. Let's see. What do I have? Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper. And they are going to be at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. And it's not only are they going to be making music, Celtic music, their Scottish fare, but the celebration is, it's Robbie Burns Day Prelude. You get that, folks? You get the prelude. And there will be not only poetry, but haggis, oatcakes, Scotch whiskey, and great music. Have a listen. Thank you. Here because that song you just heard, that last one, is by Ranch Romance, and it's called She Who Must Be Obeyed. And they're talking about their dog, and we've got some dog and cat people here with us. I will mention that before them were not dog people. That was, well, they may be, I don't know, Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper, who are going to be at the Peninsula Arts Center tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, nice and early. You can fit everything else in with music and haggis and all kinds of good Celtic stuff because they're celebrating Robbie Burns. We are celebrating animals right here. And we're celebrating with the Clatsop Animal Assistance and an artist whom I hadn't met before. And the conversation came up with somebody else I hadn't met before, but who, Marcy, did you recognize my voice?
Yes,
from the
absolutely.
Come a little closer there.
Sorry. Yes, I heard you talking across the room, and I thought, I know that's her.
Oh, that was so funny. Last night, we were celebrating the local businesses, including KMUN and the cruise ship hosts and all that kind of stuff over at the Sundial. So Marcy said, "Are you Carol from KMUN? Are you the one?" And I said, "Yes." We started talking, and the next thing I know, she tells me about Angel Burns. Hi, Angel.
Hello.
And Angel is a, am I right, local artist?
Yes.
And now, what did you do for Marcy that I can't even remember how that came about?
Because I was talking about the paintings that Angel did, one that I had done for my husband of his
That's
dog,
right.
And then the painting that Angel did for me that she gave to me when I retired, and it just happened that my dog was very sick at that point and died soon after, so it was wonderful. So that's how we started.
Wow. And so I said, wait a minute, we have an animal-loving artist in this community. I know we have more than one, but we've got one here right now. And so I asked them to come in, and of course, how could we have the Clatsop Animal Assistance without Ray Zimmerling? Hi, Ray.
Hi there.
Because Ray's, how long have you been there?
Oh boy, you're asking me to do math in my head. Let's see. I started with some other people in 1999.
Yes. That's 15 years, yes. Folks, devoting lots of time and love and energy to the animals in our community. The dog, mostly, is it just dogs and cats at the CAA that deals with?
Yes, at the county animal shelter, we house temporarily dogs and cats. Once in a while, we'll get something else in, but it never can stay because we just don't have the facilities to really properly take care of, goats or ferrets or potbelly pigs or any of that kind of thing. Birds sometimes have even come through.
Oh, my.
But we network with other people, and mm-hmm. we are able to
find a place
out
for them.
Yes.
Good. Okay. So recently you had the fundraiser at the mm-hmm. CAA. Did you have some work in that?
What I offered was to paint a portrait of a dog or cat, and the money would be donated to CAA.
Now I remember. I remember exactly where it was on the table because I saw that and I thought, what a fabulous idea. So when did you, have you been making art all your life, or did...
Well, I've always
which
been...
Which came first, the animals or the art?
The art came
okay.
first, and I was just kind of doing it quietly. I had started volunteering at the shelter and realized that we had one dog that had been there a long time, and if you looked at her, you would think that she was very ferocious and very mean because she was a pit bull and somebody had tried to crop her ears, so her ears were a mess. Anyway, I fell in love with her, and we weren't having any luck in getting her adopted. So I thought, well, let's make a poster and put it out all over the place. So that's what I did. I painted her portrait and put little flyers up in restaurants and things like that. And I had gone into Lunar Boy Gallery, which is closed now, which is very, very sad. But I had asked if I could put the poster up there because she did at that time have a bulletin board. So she said, yes, you can put it up here. And then she asked me, who did the art? And I said, I did. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you should put your art in here. So I said, thank you, I will. So that's how that got started. And eventually, Sugar did get adopted. And she is very, very happy. And they recently had a baby. And she's wonderful with the baby. They've had a couple of puppies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Sugar, but they've adopted puppies. Mm-hmm. And she is really good with other dogs and
good.
Babies.
Excellent.
She's fabulous.
Good for you. So now, when you made the portrait, did you purposely make it different from what other people's perceptions might be?
Yes. I mean, most of the time you picture adult dogs, in particular pit bulls, being very energetic. But she wasn't like that a lot of the time. She was very serene. And I wanted to bring that forward in her portrait. So she's basically sitting still and looking up at the moon, hoping to get a home.
Wow.
So,
and it worked.
That was it.
It worked.
Well, eventually.
And it turns out that the people who adopted her are as happy as she is.
They love her.
For them all to be together.
Yes.
Wonderful. Are you still a volunteer there at CA?
Yes, I am. Unfortunately, I don't get to do as much volunteer work as I would like because my employment has changed, but...
You have a job. Oh, well, I forgot about that. Right, a day job.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, something that pays the bills.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to, most artists, I would say, have to do that, mm-hmm. too. So how long have you been making art, then?
All my life. Mm-hmm. We moved here about 20 years ago. We were in the Seattle area before, and up until that time, I had just basically done colored pencil. I took... a class. May I name who I took the class from? Julie Bay. She's local here in town. She does toll painting. I took her class, and for a short time, she shut down the classes, so I was left on my own. So I just developed my own style and my own technique, and she was really the one who enabled me to get comfortable with the paint. So I want to say thank you, Julie, because she really did help me.
Absolutely.
Fabulous teacher.
That's great. We definitely want to honor the people who pass it on.
Yes.
And had you been doing painting animals before this opportunity came up?
No. Actually, sugar was my first endeavor.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
And Angel really captures the personality of the animals. I have to say that that's one of the wonderful things about her painting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I need to agree with that because it was a year ago, this past fundraiser, that we bid on her offer of a portrait, and we won. And she did a portrait of our Newfoundland Dolly.
Oh.
And
that's a big one.
My husband is fond of saying that the painting looks more like Dolly than the photograph did.
Mm.
It's a wonderful picture.
I like
that.
Thank you. So what Marcy's saying, capturing the essence of the animal. So, and I think that's probably because you do have this heart connection with animals. I mean, you're not...
I love them.
You're neither, quote, just a painter, nor, quote, just an animal lover, but you've combined those two to make a difference in people's lives and obviously in animals' lives, too. So, well, I'm quite delighted. Can you tell us a little bit more about, since I've got two, regulars, Ray, you're the director of the... Klatzup Animal Assistance.
I guess you could call me that. Yes.
Tell us how the Marcy, what is your either title or job?
Well, I'm a vice president, and I do some grant writing, and do some administrative things, some of the fundraising, and I walk dogs.
There
three
you
days
go.
A week, so.
I heard some magic words in there, though, to keep the place going, grants and fundraising the mundane parts that absolutely must be done. Although I have to say it was not at all mundane, this celebration, Klatzup Animal Assistance, this year was, I guess this was your second year over at the Lovell Building,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
It was my first, though.
Oh.
And I've been going to these things at holiday time for years. Out at the
shelter itself, yes.
But wow, this was a party out here at the level. I mean, there was first of all, the number of beautiful goods and art, etc. I left some money behind myself, and then there was the entire room had a table the length of the room filled with edibles.
Right,
and they were there was a little bit for animals. I bought a little bag for But most of it was for us, the humans, and a lot of chocolate. I was a very happy camper then.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
I actually came, looked around, put my bids down, went to where I had to be that afternoon, and then came back.
Oh, good.
So
great.
I could up my bids and make sure to grab some of the things. So what is the interconnection between the Klatzup Animal Assistance and the shelter?
We work hand in hand. We are the fundraising entity for the shelter. That's the reason we exist, in order to provide for veterinary visits, medicines, any other needs that aren't covered by the budget, the county budget. So we raise funds to take care of those needs. And because we can do that, and because of Marcy's wonderful grant writing and the generosity of our community and people beyond, actually, the shelter is able to hold on to animals for as long as it needs to get them adopted.
Wow.
It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference with Stephen, the animal control officer, because he knows he can rely on us to help him if he has an animal that's ill or injured. He doesn't have to worry. If he knows it has a good disposition, we'll be able to help him. And he'll be able to keep that animal until it's adopted.
Oh, I'm sure that is a tremendous support for the shelter itself, Stephen and the others who work there, and can't do all of these things, whether it's legally as well as just time-wise and effort-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
But it does take the community, people like our guest, Angel, who connected because you love the animals, so you started volunteering at the shelter.
Well, what started me wanting to walk dogs at the shelter, it was 5 or 6 years ago. I was at home sitting watching TV with my dogs, and I don't watch Oprah, but they had a snippet on her next show, which was Puppy Meals. Just saw the little snippets that they had on there, and it's like it made me very, very sad. I started crying, and it's like, I can't do anything for those puppies, but I can do something locally, and that's what got me started. Oprah and her really sad snippet of these poor little creatures.
Did you write her a letter and tell her?
No.
We should thank her from this community.
Absolutely. She
got you. And I was wondering what you were going to say you were watching, because you said you were sitting with your dogs. I was thinking, I wonder what your dogs like to watch on TV. I don't have a TV, so I don't.
Well, I don't think they were actually watching TV. They were, when any of us sit down at my house, we've got dogs on our laps.
I
don't think the main draw was what was on TV. It was mom or dad are sitting down, so they have to sit on us.
Is it satisfying to be able to volunteer there at the shelter?
Oh yes, yes. And when somebody gets adopted who has been there a long time, and they come in for visits to see, to let us see how the dogs or cats are doing, it's heartwarming. You're just so happy for the people and the dog or cat.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't believe the number of emails that get sent around when a dog, particularly dogs, cats too, but more the dogs, gets adopted, one that we've all walked.
Mm-hmm.
And we're emailing for hours afterwards. Everybody's excited.
So pleased excited. Oh, that's fantastic.
You can even catch us doing happy dances and other crazy things like that.
Dancing. Oh, right. All four of us sitting in this room know how important the animals are in our lives, and what a responsibility it is to make sure that they're taken care of. So if somebody wanted to volunteer, now you're volunteering in two very different ways. One is the dog walking and being part of, it sounds like a family, that Clatsable Animal Assistance and
that's
the shelter people all together.
We all really admire and support each other. We work well together, and most of the time it's a very happy place to be.
And then your other part is by using your skills as an artist to help with the fundraising and working with Marcy.
Yeah, I do my little part.
Well,
these guys do everything else. I mean, they do a lot more than I do.
Well, I'm wondering if someone is listening, what are the parameters? Do you have to be a certain age? And what are the various volunteer things that people can do?
Okay, a person needs to be 16 years of age to volunteer by his or herself. We do have students come out with their parents if they would like to, say, socialize cats, play with the cats, brush them, whatever. If a parent is alongside them and accompanying them, then they can come out. Otherwise, it's 16 is the age. And then, let's see, we have two orientations a month.
Oh.
One is the first Saturday of every month. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it's one of
taking
the Fridays.
Place today.
Yeah. So
it's
is the this
second
the second Friday?
Friday of every month.
Right. So all that needs to happen is if a person is interested, fill out a volunteer application and turn that in to the shelter and then attend one of the orientations. And then it's pretty much up to the person what time they want to give, how much time, when they want to come out. We can assign times if they want it that way, but mm-hmm. mostly people choose their own. And there's an endless variety of things. There's nothing too small to do. If a person is a quiet person, it doesn't really feel like they can handle the animals that well. Well, they can work in the laundry area or or helping to stack away foods and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. There's just all kinds of things.
And we haven't really talked about the cats, but we have a lot of volunteers, and Ray is more of a cat person mm-hmm. than a dog person, but people come in and they socialize with the cats. They play with them, and, mm-hmm. and so that takes a lot less energy.
I think I saw that last time I was there. There was a young person, a young man, sitting in that right behind that glass and just mm-hmm. sitting on the floor.
Yes. Every bit of interaction with either the dogs or the cats goes a long way to helping make them adoptable because they're used to people that way. Mm-hmm. And children come in with the families, and they get used to that, the noise and the exuberance, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We have more information about that on both our website and our Facebook page.
Why don't you give us the website?
The website is Dogs and Cats. It's DOGSNCATS.org.
Okay.
And the Facebook is
Clatsop
Animal
Assistance.
I always get to it from the website, but it would be Clatsop Animal Assistance Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a really long URL.
Right.
That I see.
I don't have Facebook, so I don't know how it works. But
well, it's a very, very active websites. Facebook community.
Oh, okay.
We're posting all the time, and they're doing a great job with it.
So people can check this out and find out more about it and how you can take part. And I was delighted because I know that for example, at the fundraiser, there were all kinds of, as I mentioned, baked goods. Though, by the way, when I said food, all of it was made by human beings. And as a matter of fact, just last night at the meeting I went to after I saw you,
I
took a can that I got. I've kept it in the fridge. It was 1 pound fudge with walnuts.
Mm.
I bought that at the, and I took it in. And let me tell you, I got points because everybody knows I don't bake.
Right.
So where did that come from? It came from Clatsop Animal Assistance. So, but I love the idea that what I took away from there, in addition to a medical thing, a healing from one of our local practitioners, I also took away two fabulous photographs. So other artists mm-hmm. in the community are contributing in whatever way they can to help make our community safer and better for the animals.
We really have a lot of supporters, both individuals and the businesses mm-hmm. in the entire county who have been very, very generous.
Yeah, there were
and
a lot of.
When you were mentioning the bake sale, we should give a special thank you to Linda Perkins, who was in charge of the bake sale and got a complete army of bakers.
It was together. Unbelievable. I've never seen a spread like that ever. I invited her to our Brown's Meat potlucks, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So, well, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for what you do for this community, all of you. And Angel, I look forward to seeing more of your art of all different kinds. Do you have a...
Yes, I work at a fabulous restaurant. It's uptown. It's by the Staples across from Home Depot. And they are very kind and let me hang some of my artwork there.
So the name of it is Uptown?
Uptown Cafe.
Wait a minute.
Krista Bingham and Dave Ewell own the restaurant.
And you know what?
And they are very wonderful.
And they have music tonight from 6 to 8 by Barbara Gaidosh. Yes. Boy, I love the way this whole community links together. Okay, so Angel Burns, you can see her work and listen to music tonight at Uptown, or probably see the work anytime. Thank you so much for your contribution. And Marcy Dunning, great meeting you, and thanks for bringing us all together here and for all your work there. And Ray, as ever, thank you so much for all the work on behalf of the animals.
You're welcome.
And we've only got a few minutes left, so I'll tell you what else is going on in the community. And I'm going to put on in the background a little bit of a wonderful tune. You'll be hearing more of this. Says Lauren Kinnan. She's going to be playing a concert February 2nd at the Coaster Theater. And title cut, Circle in a Square. We won't get to hear much of it, but a little bit. You'll have something to look forward to. And tonight we have the museum exhibit in El Waco, Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, 5 to 7. Gearhart Barn Kickstart is happening with Brad Griswold and Dave Quinton Music, Barbara Gaidosh, as I mentioned, at Uptown, Wadhams in Houston at the Sand Trap, and The Adrift has McClure tonight, and they have music going on all the time, and we have most of our local restaurants and venues with music. Tomorrow, Finnish film Letters from Karelia. It's at the Apollo Archives at 11 a.m. For people 12 and older, mostly in English with some subtitles. And the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park Living History Programs, 9 to 5, Saturday and Sunday, wintering over. Pi Day auction and feast at 7 o'clock at the Nehalem Bay Methodist Church. It's for Food Roots and the Lower Nehalem Community Trust. Peter Newman, our own Peter Newman, and Megan Cole are going to be the auctioneers. The Peninsula Arts Center, as we heard, has Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper at 5 o'clock. And Lower Nehalem Community Trust also has a tree planting at Zimmerman Marsh from 9 to noon tomorrow. And there's Zentangle Meditative Drawing Class, 10 to 1, at the Pearl Studio in Tillamook. Sunday, Edmund Wayne Band from Seattle is playing at the Fort George. Don't forget, Marco has classes at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And the Lower Columbia Diversity Project has a candlelight vigil on Monday for Martin Luther King Day, 5:30, 12th and Commercial. And then a soup dinner and program at 6 at Peace Lutheran. Tuesday, the North Coast Chorale, 4:30, is asking young people, 3rd to 6th graders, to come over and to the Performing Arts Center to be part of a concert. Columbia River Maritime Museum, Columbia River Maritime History from 9:45 to noon, and line dancing for 6 weeks at the Tolavana Arts Colony starts this Tuesday. There's lots more dancing with Nadine Norquist. And Au Naturel opens next Thursday, so tune in for that. We'll have someone in. The opening isn't until the following week, so you'll hear more about it. Matt Loves Sometimes a Great Movie is on at the Big O Saloon next Thursday, too, at 7 o'clock. Stay tuned right now. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world.